Influencing at the Age of Walking, Media Supporting Today's Toddlers. Hi, I'm Paul Hullett, and today we're going to be taking a look at building relationships with technology and how it is such a tricky thing. Today's world has so many resources that both the old and the young, really young, have access to. Media can influence and distract, but it can also educate us in so many ways. The young are influenced to media typically by things like TV in most families. Top media outlets are as followed, but not in the necessarily a ranking order. TV, radio, mobile, which is, includes primarily cell phones. Then there's tablets, laptops, and desktop computers. Influencing at the Age of Walking, Media Supporting Today's Toddlers. Hi, I'm Paul Hullett, and we're going to be taking a look at building relationships with technology. It is a tricky thing. Today's world has so many resources that both the old and the young, the really young, have access to. Media can influence and distract, but it can also educate us in so many ways. The young are first introduced to media, typically through TV in most families. Top media outlets are as follows, but not ranking in the same order necessarily. So we start off with something like TV, radio, mobile, which typically includes cell phones, and that's the main thing that we typically think about as well. Tablets, laptops, and desktop computers. Using these devices with balance in mind is an important point to be made. That's what we'll be looking at. If there is not balance, as described in many articles that we've read through, that we've all been exposed to, saying too much is a bad thing, people will be enveloped in media, using it as a crutch or branding into the fabric of their lives. And we don't want that to happen necessarily. So we will be looking at how that balance can happen. We don't want our children to become zombies. We don't want our children to be exposed to too much in ways of branding. So if our child is demanding and having a fit because they saw a logo or a product that they want or they think they need, then branding has already begun. We'll be looking at those and more as we go further on in this episode. We've all probably heard at least once while we're out and about shopping or at a dining experience where a child is demanding, pestering, throwing a fit because they want something that either their parents aren't willing to get for them, can't afford, or simply shouldn't have, age appropriateness and so on. So what can we do, either as a society or as an individual, just be aware of so we can help our own in our own little pack? If we're out and about, things that we want to do, at least in my pack, is educate. So we point out these things. We say, this is something we're going to look at, but not purchase. This is something that is branded out there. And again, it's all age appropriate. So thinking about my older children, in their case, I can reason with them and point out what is branding and how much the media is out there influencing them and literally trying to get them to adopt a brand for life. So that way they could be informed, make a decision on, is this something that's quality? Is this something that they need? Is this something that will make their lives better? Not just fit in with the crowd or match what the proverbial Joneses are doing. So with a child in mind, we want to make sure that we're guiding them. And what we're looking for is, how can we create a balance? With different medias that are out there, we want to make sure that we have a balance. That balance that we're looking for every child influenced by the product, the service, the logo, the thing, are beginning to be branded. As young as 24 months old have been known to ask for something specific. Often that happens while they're out with their parents and they see something. They point and they say, this is what they want. They don't say it in a very calm and polite ask. It's normally what they call the pester or the pester power, as Michelle Obama describes it in one of her podcasts. The idea that an 11-month-old, a 12-month-old can ask for things that they were influenced beginning to be branded by media out there trying to sell products. Often it's sugary things, unhealthy items. Statistics have shown that 3% is based on fruits and vegetables that the children ask for at that age, and even a little bit older into youth and adolescence. The idea of product placement, kids shows, movies, fast food, even in grocery stores, character placement teamed up with various products, often on sugary, not healthy items. I've got an example that you'll see where a banana has a logo on it. It doesn't just have the name or the brand of the banana company, but it has a character, a cartoon character from a movie. It's Mater, Mater from the movie Cars. So those are things that a 24-month-old, a almost 2-year-old, can look at, identify, and actually say the words Mater if they have in turn seen that movie. So being able to be influenced by a small little character, a sticker on a banana, in that case, as a parent, I'm a little bit partial to that because it is fruit, and if the child can say banana and Mater and make that connection that something's healthy, I'm not as disappointed in that aspect as far as how branding and cross product placement is happening out there. So the other side of that, though, is typically it's more sugary things, putting characters on powdered donuts and things of that nature. Balancing out is what's the important part of it. So balancing out everything, every opportunity we encounter in my pack is an educational moment. Teaching them the simple marketing facts when they're just beyond toddler through adolescence is, I think, an important thing. Discovering that kids are quick studies. Even to be able to have them as a game call out something that they've seen and that they can say, that's been marketed, that's product placement, when they see a movie or a TV show. I think they're going to be less influenced by these things in the sense that they've acknowledged that these are tactics, and these are tactics by someone trying to sell them or brand them on something that might be a lifelong thing for many people, where they become Mountain Dew-anized, as my neighbor likes to say. He says, I've been drinking it since I could walk, and I probably will never give it up, he says. So those are things that that are ingrained in that exposure and that repeated exposure in multiple ways that media does. So the idea of that placement and how it influences we as parents, the idea is that to summarize this all is we as parents, we are guides. We want to make sure that we have influence. And when we don't necessarily have control over that influence over our young children, we want to make sure that they're either educated or that in some ways the outside forces, those people that are producing products and things, are following the rules in the sense that they are not trying to influence to the point where it is that pester power, which is a term out there in the industry. We want to make sure that we harness that technology, that we use it for good, and that we can use it for positive things. I've got another example that'll show using non-advertising kind of way, but there is a character in there, and my two-year-old can identify it by saying Toby, Toby, Toby. And what that is that's relation to let's watch a video on how to brush your teeth. And then he is getting quite well versed at being able to brush his teeth. So there's a healthy result from media and media's influence. On that note, I'd like to say that this has been a great episode, and I hope that you tune in for our next. Thanks, and have a great day. Thanks again for tuning in to Influencing at the Age of Walking, Media Supporting Today's Toddlers with Paul Howlett. Look forward to hearing from you again at our next episode, where we look more at the ideas behind and related to media and adolescence. Thanks, and we'll see you next time.